Part 3. Making the Choice to Change. In this part, if you have borderline personality disorder, BPD, you may not have already made the decision to seek treatment and make changes in your life. In this part, we describe the various settings in which you may find BPD treatment available. We introduce you to the mental health professionals who provide treatment for BPD and explain what to look for in your individual therapist. We also go through some of the treatments that professionals have found to be helpful in treating BPD, because you need to know what does and what doesn't work. Finally, we help you decide whether treatment is what you really want and then prepare you for fully engaging in that treatment if you decide to seek it out. Chapter 11. Preparing to Conquer BPD. In this chapter, looking at the different treatment options available. Picking a therapy that works for you. Knowing which mental health professional to choose. Setting reasonable expectations for treatment. Borderline personality disorder, BPD, consists of a broad constellation of symptoms. See Chapter 3 for more info. The range of problems people with BPD experience makes treatment challenging. For example, some people with BPD have trouble with substance abuse, difficulty keeping a job, tumultuous relationships, or serious problems with mood. Others feel empty inside, worry about being abandoned, or try to physically hurt themselves. Addressing even one of those problems can be extremely difficult, so imagine how hard treating a combination of them can be. Although treatment for BPD takes a while and can seem overwhelming at first, over time, it usually helps significantly. Not surprisingly, the wide range of available treatments makes choosing the right treatment challenging for people who have BPD or those people who care for them. If you have BPD, you can choose from an hour a week of individual psychotherapy, day treatment, known as partial hospitalization, full-time inpatient treatment, or group therapy. In this chapter, we help you handle this array of options. This chapter describes the various treatment options available for people with BPD and explains which ones have been shown to work. We provide a glossary of treatment providers. We spell out what to expect in psychotherapy and, more importantly, show you how to tell whether you've made the right choice. Finally, we discuss how to make realistic goals instead of expecting unlikely miracles. Exploring BPD treatment settings. You can find treatment for BPD in a variety of settings. Each of these settings, whether it's working one-on-one with a therapist, taking part in group therapy, or spending some time in a hospital, has certain pluses and minuses. In the following sections, we describe what to expect from each of these treatment venues. Working individually with a therapist. Most mental health practitioners practice independently and offer services to individuals one at a time. Typically, they see each client for 50 minutes either once or twice per week. For people with BPD, especially during times of great upheaval, individual therapy once or twice per week may not suffice. However, many people with BPD do get better with the help of individual psychotherapy. See the Choosing a Mental Health Professional section later in this chapter for a list of questions you need to ask your individual therapist before starting therapy. Giving groups a chance. Group psychotherapy has been around for a long time, but many people shy away from this form of therapy out of fear of confiding personal information to others, especially people they don't know. Sometimes they fear talking in front of a group or believe that other group members will reject them. However, group therapy can be a very useful part of BPD treatment. Group settings provide an effective way to teach important skills and to provide information about managing BPD. Group therapy is also somewhat more cost-effective than individual therapy because the costs are spread among the participants. Furthermore, seeing that you're not the only person who's suffering the way you are can be very reassuring. Tip: if you find the idea of group therapy too intimidating, you may wish to start your treatment with individual therapy. However, we strongly suggest that you talk to your therapist about your concerns regarding group therapy so that the two of you can address these fears. Furthermore, your therapist can tell you whether or not groups specifically designed for BPD are available in your local area. Spending more time in treatment. Partial hospitalization. Some local hospitals offer programs for BPD treatment in a form called partial hospitalization. Partial hospitalization programs usually combine group therapy, individual therapy, medication, and adjunctive therapies, such as art therapy, recreational therapy, and occupational therapy. Although researchers haven't yet studied these adjunctive therapies in relationship to the treatment of BPD, time spent on these activities can have some value for many people, regardless of their disorder. For example, when a conflict arises in a recreational therapy session, a good therapist can use that opportunity to show the patient how to use some basic interpersonal conflict management skills. These partial hospitalization programs vary greatly in number of hours per week and may range from a couple of hours, 2 or 3 days per week, to as much as all day, most days of the week. To date, no studies have demonstrated exactly how many hours per week are optimal. Tip: partial hospitalization programs can be difficult to find and rather costly. Insurance often doesn't cover such services. The good news is that most people with BPD don't require partial hospitalization programs, and when they do, they probably don't need them for long periods of time. Needing more care. Inpatient psychiatric wards. A generation ago, seeing people spend long periods of time confined in so-called mental hospitals for problems such as BPD and psychotic disorders was a fairly common occurrence. See chapters 3 and 10 for more information about psychotic disorders. Today, however, inpatient psychiatric wards don't serve as mainstays in the treatment of BPD. Mental health professionals use these more intense treatment settings only when people appear to be in imminent danger of causing harm to themselves or other people. When professionals turn to inpatient wards, they usually use them only for a short time, anywhere from a few days to a week or so, mostly for the purpose of stabilizing the person and perhaps regulating the medication regimen. Warning: some experts in the treatment of BPD warn against using inpatient treatment more than one time for any given patient. They do so because some patients find inpatient settings quite rewarding, supporting, and nurturing compared to the scary world outside the hospital walls. Therefore, these patients may end up seeking hospitalization with increased frequency over time. Many experts think that this pattern of frequent hospitalization ends up causing more harm than good. Combining and changing treatments. About half the people who seek treatment for BPD receive treatment in more than one format or setting, either at the same time or one after the other. Thus, you may begin with individual therapy and later add group therapy. You may even seek partial hospitalization for a few weeks in addition to your individual and group therapies. You may also go to an inpatient setting, but you probably won't remain in that setting for long or more than once or twice. You and your primary individual therapist can work together to decide which treatments are best for you at any given time. See the Choosing a Mental Health Professional section for help with finding the right therapist for you. Researching the treatment strategies that work for BPD. If you take a few minutes to call around to different therapists or hospitals or search the internet, you'll find a kaleidoscope of different types of psychotherapy. You'll find Jungian therapy, primal scream therapy, psychoanalysis in various forms, cognitive therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, humanistic therapy, Rogerian therapy, haiku therapy, Hakomi therapy, and on and on. Are you confused yet? Well, don't be overwhelmed. We're going to make your decision of which therapy to choose a little easier. In actuality, only a handful of psychotherapies have shown significant promise for the treatment of BPD. Warning: you definitely don't want to seek treatment for BPD that isn't specifically designed to treat this diagnosis. Preliminary evidence suggests that non-specific treatment may slow or impede the natural healing that occurs over time. Research supports the following strategies for treating BPD. Dialectical Behavior Therapy, DBT. Marsha Linehan developed DBT as the first therapy specifically designed for BPD. Numerous studies have shown that this approach effectively reduces suicidal attempts. Most of these studies have looked at the effects of 1 year of this kind of therapy. After 1 year, people show great improvement, but they still generally report significant distress in the quality of their lives. Linehan believes that more substantial improvement is likely after several years of treatment, but, to date, researchers haven't conducted studies looking at this extended time frame. DBT typically combines individual psychotherapy and group therapy. Group therapy teaches patients how to identify their emotions and then how to apply an array of techniques to help quell out-of-control emotions. The individual therapy works on decreasing self-harming behaviors and removing obstacles to getting better. The DBT approach heavily draws on Buddhist principles, such as acceptance of distress and meditation. DBT also uses elements of cognitive and behavioral therapies, which are designed to improve the way people think and behave. Technical stuff. DBT is truly a breakthrough approach to BPD and the first therapy to generate research to support its effectiveness. However, DBT is a complicated package of strategies, and mental health professionals don't know for sure which techniques are most critical to success. Many of the specific techniques we discuss in chapters 15 through 20 can be found in DBT. Mentalization-Based Therapy, MBT. Anthony Bateman and Peter Fonagy pioneered the development of MBT for the treatment of BPD. This treatment is based on the belief that most people with BPD have problems with how they attached or related with their primary caregivers. As adults, people with BPD continue to have trouble with relationships. MBT attempts to improve the abilities of people with BPD to understand their feelings, as well as the feelings and thoughts of other people. MBT also teaches people with BPD how to understand the impact of their behaviors on other people. Initial studies of MBT have demonstrated encouraging results in people with BPD, even 8 years after treatment. Patients had fewer hospitalizations after treatment, reduced their suicidal behaviors, and improved their day-to-day functioning. A number of the techniques in Chapter 18 are consistent with the ideas of MBT. Transference-Focused Psychotherapy, TFP. TFP is an approach to treating BPD based on the theory that many people with BPD perceive interpersonal interactions in overly rigid, fragmented ways. This treatment attempts to teach people with BPD that they misperceive interactions with their therapists and provides corrective information about those interactions. Early research on TFP is positive, but we can't unequivocally recommend this approach until more studies are conducted. Cognitive therapy. Aaron T. Beck developed cognitive therapy as a therapy for depression, but it has been successfully applied to a surprisingly wide range of emotional problems, including anxiety disorders, obsessive-compulsive disorder, substance abuse, eating disorders, and schizophrenia. Hundreds of studies support its effectiveness for these problems, but much less research has investigated the effectiveness of cognitive therapy on treating BPD. The studies that have been done have found that cognitive therapy shows promise in reducing self-harm and other symptoms of BPD. Some of the techniques in DBT are based on cognitive therapy. However, studies of cognitive therapy have shown benefits in less than 6 months, which is a shorter time frame than that of most of the other approaches to treating BPD, including DBT, that we review in this chapter. Cognitive therapy teaches people to look at the way they think about or interpret the things that happen to them. Generally, people think in distorted ways when they're experiencing emotional problems. Cognitive therapy helps people see those distortions and, thus, their experiences more realistically. Schema therapy. Jeffrey Young originally developed schema therapy as an offshoot of cognitive therapy. This approach focuses on early maladaptive schemas, which are broad, deeply held beliefs about oneself and the world that originate in childhood. See Chapter 9 for more information about schemas and Chapter 19 for ideas about how to change maladaptive schemas into more adaptive ones. Although schema therapy has generated a lot of professional interest, research on its effectiveness is just now emerging. One study in the Netherlands found that 2 schema therapy sessions per week over 3 years led to substantial improvement in the quality of life and decreased symptoms in about half the sample patients. Improvements in reported quality of life haven't been typical in most outcome studies for other forms of BPD treatment. Thus, these particular results are highly encouraging, but they beg for replication by other research groups. Medication. Mental health professionals use psychotropic medications to treat most emotional disorders, including depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, and psychosis. However, medications haven't proven to be especially effective for the treatment of BPD and other personality disorders. Nonetheless, medication sometimes appears useful for treating specific symptoms of BPD. See Chapter 20 for more information about using medication as a part of BPD treatment. Remember, after studying these therapies, we haven't discovered anything that stands out as fundamentally contradictory or incompatible about any one therapy with the major tenets of the others. As of today, no one has studied the effectiveness of combining these strategies, but some experts advocate doing so. In chapters 15 through 20, we present an array of techniques that we pull from all the therapies we list here so that you can get a good sense of what you're likely to encounter when you begin treatment for your BPD. Your therapist may primarily use one of these techniques or present you with a treatment that attempts to integrate the best features of each, much like we do in this book. Either approach is likely to be effective. Choosing a mental health professional. If you have BPD, you need help from others, usually trained mental health professionals. Some treatments involve a team of professionals working together, and others involve only one therapist working one-on-one with you. When you're searching for a mental health professional, you need to ask specifically about her experience and knowledge in treating BPD. You want someone who has experience, especially in providing one or more of the treatments we review in the Researching the Treatment Strategies That Work for BPD section. Don't get discouraged if the first provider you contact isn't comfortable treating BPD. Not everyone is, but if you call around, you'll likely find someone who is. When you contact a mental health professional, you need to ask that professional a variety of questions, including the following. When and how often are you available? Ask the provider how soon you can make an appointment. Unfortunately, in some areas of the country, providers are so busy that they have waiting lists. Others may have a limited number of appointment times available. Ask about the provider's hours, especially if you need evening or weekend hours. BPD treatment requires regularly scheduled sessions, so make sure you can set up a weekly meeting time that works for both you and the provider. Do you offer after-hours and emergency coverage? Part of the diagnosis of BPD includes risky or self-harming behavior. Ask the therapist what provisions she makes for emergencies. Therapist policies range from being on call 24/7 with backup when the therapist is out of town to not being available for any reason after hours, in which case the therapist usually gives patients instructions to contact 911 or go to an emergency room in the case of an emergency. To date, no research studies look specifically at how the availability of the therapist helps or hinders treatment of BPD. Both approaches have good reasons behind them. What's important is that your therapist spells out the policies and procedures in advance, and you feel comfortable with them. What fees do you charge? Ask the provider what fees she charges for sessions. If your treatment involves multiple sessions a week, are the fees for individual and group therapy different or the same? Will the therapist accept your insurance? Some practitioners don't accept all insurance plans, and others don't accept any insurance plans. Furthermore, some insurance plans don't include mental health. We recommend that you check with your insurance plan, as well as with the therapist. Sometimes, providers can convince insurance companies to pay for more than their usual reimbursement when the treatment is a validated treatment for BPD. Participation isn't optional. If you're seeking help to treat your BPD, the good news is that treatment works and you can expect to feel better. The bad news is that many people never access the kind of help they need. Quite a few people with BPD make appointments with therapists, but then they cancel. Others make appointments and go to 2 or 3 sessions, but then they stop. Do those people receive the help they were looking for when they signed up for therapy? Well, they don't receive much. So why do so many people stop therapy or never start? People hesitate to make appointments, cancel them, or quit after a couple of sessions because therapy involves some tough stuff. Some people find admitting that they need help for their emotional problems too embarrassing. Others find talking about their feelings and problems overwhelming. And still others are pessimistic and don't believe that talking to someone else will help them with the painful turbulence of their lives. Imagine that you have a sudden high fever and a sore throat. You miss work and can't get out of bed. After a few days, you still feel horrible. You may call your doctor's office for an appointment or go to an urgent care facility. You probably don't feel ashamed that this illness requires medical attention. The same should be true when you're suffering from BPD. This disorder is painful and often involves being unable to function, so don't be ashamed to ask for help. Effective treatments do exist for BPD. The guidance and support of a therapist can be extremely helpful. However, to get better, you have to participate and follow through with the therapy. Remember that you are the most important person on your treatment team. Do you have a professional license? Ask whether or not the provider has a license to practice. If not, go elsewhere. The only exception is when graduate students are practicing under the supervision of licensed professionals. A variety of people with different titles, different levels of education, and different areas of expertise provide mental health services. In the following sections, we provide brief descriptions of the different roles and educational backgrounds mental health professionals can have. primary health care providers. Whenever you experience significant emotional problems, we recommend that you begin your search for treatment by going to your primary health care provider, whether that person is a physician, a nurse practitioner, or a physician assistant, for a thorough physical checkup. Various physical issues sometimes cause symptoms that often look like emotional disorders. For example, brain trauma, medications, various hormonal imbalances, dietary supplements, and certain chronic diseases sometimes produce emotional problems, such as anxiety, depression, or agitation. After your primary health care provider rules out physical causes, you should seek the services of a licensed mental health professional for a diagnosis of your specific condition. Primary health care providers rarely have sufficient training for understanding the subtle differences in emotional disorders. Psychologists. Practicing psychologists typically hold a doctoral degree, PhD, PsyD, or EdD, in clinical or counseling psychology. These degrees require at least 4 years of graduate education. In addition, psychologists generally have to complete a 1-year internship and often a 1 or 2-year postdoctoral fellowship, too. They also must pass a comprehensive examination prior to licensure. Psychologists usually focus on treatments that have scientific support for their effectiveness. They also use special interview techniques and psychological tests to assist in making accurate diagnoses for emotional disorders. In fact, some psychologists specialize only in assessment and refer people to other practitioners after they've determined the precise diagnosis. In a few states, psychologists go on to complete further training, which enables them to prescribe psychotropic medication. You need to check whether your state allows psychologists to do so. Tip: if you have any doubt about whether your diagnosis is correct, you may want to see a psychologist who specializes in assessment. Getting the right diagnosis makes a big difference when you and your therapist are deciding which treatments to pursue. Psychiatrists. Psychiatrists have a doctoral degree in medicine, either MD or DO. Board-certified psychiatrists have also completed a 4-year residency that specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of mental disorders. In addition, they have passed a rigorous oral and written examination in psychiatry. Most psychiatrists focus on treating emotional disorders through psychotropic medication. They're experts in these medications. However, they vary greatly in their expertise in delivering scientifically validated psychotherapies. So, psychiatrists and other mental health professionals often team up in the treatment of emotional disorders. Warning: physicians who hold an MD can call themselves psychiatrists even if they haven't obtained additional training in psychiatry. This practice is unusual, but you should make sure your psychiatrist has completed at least a 4-year residency in psychiatry. Warning: can I treat BPD on my own? Generally speaking, self-help isn't enough to treat BPD, but you can help yourself in many different ways. First, find out all you can about BPD. Find out about the causes, the signs, and the symptoms. Research the most effective treatments. Take advantage of the treatment you choose for yourself. In other words, go to every session and carry out suggested assignments between sessions. Dare to be honest with yourself and your therapist. Don't sugarcoat your behavior or hide your true feelings. You can find many internet support groups for people with BPD, their friends, and their family members. Some of these groups are extremely helpful and well-run. Others can be hurtful. Look for a helpful problem-solving approach to the group's entries. Be wary of groups that focus on complaints and negative comments. Be careful not to provide too much information online. Unfortunately, some people pose as people with BPD or their family members to take advantage of people who are really suffering and looking for help. Take particular caution before you agree to meet anyone you've only met online. Counselors. Counselors who are licensed to provide mental health services generally have a 2-year master's degree, MA, or MED, in psychology, theology, or counseling. To obtain their license to practice, counselors have to complete varying amounts of supervised practice following the degree, depending on the state, and a written examination. Many counselors also work for a certification from the National Academy of Certified Mental Health Counselors. Although they're not as thoroughly trained as psychologists in the science of human behavior, many qualified counselors have received specialized training in the treatment of BPD, using one of the scientifically supported techniques we review earlier in this chapter. See the Researching the Treatment Strategies That Work for BPD section for more info. Marriage and Family Therapists. Marriage and family therapists typically have completed a master's degree, MA, in marriage or family therapy, followed by 2 years or more of supervised practice and a written examination. Some have doctorate degrees from programs in social work, psychology, counseling, theology, or some related field. As a result, their actual training and background varies more from practitioner to practitioner than some of the other mental health professionals. Marriage and family therapists tend to specialize in working with couples and families. Be sure to ask whether your marriage and family therapist has had specialized training in the treatment of BPD with a scientifically based approach. Psychiatric nurses. The training of psychiatric nurses varies significantly, ranging from an associate's degree in nursing to a doctorate nursing degree. Nurses often act as case managers for people with serious emotional problems. Some of these nurses have sufficient training that enables them to prescribe psychotropic medication. Others focus on providing psychotherapy, although, again, their training varies greatly. So you have to ask what your nurse has been trained to do. Social workers. Most social workers have a master's degree in social work, MSW, but a small percentage of them have a doctoral degree in social work, DSW. After they attain their degree, social workers have to complete a varying amount of supervised practice before they can take their written examination. Social workers often serve as case managers for people with serious emotional disorders. Depending on their training, many social workers can also provide diagnoses and psychotherapy for people with BPD. Once again, you have to ask about your social worker's specific training. Warning. Other practitioners who claim to be in the so-called healing arts sometimes nail signs to their doors announcing that they provide services for all sorts of ailments, including BPD. No research supports most of what these practitioners do. In fact, you could easily pay a lot of money, waste a lot of time, or even get worse, by going to one of these practitioners. So, avoid fortune tellers, crystal gazers, and sellers of snake oil. Make sure your mental health provider is licensed to provide counseling, psychotherapy, and/or medications. Tip: You can obtain referrals to qualified, licensed mental health professionals through your insurance company, your primary health care provider, psychology and psychiatry departments at local medical schools and universities, and state associations for each of the mental health professions. Starting treatment. Assuming you make the decision to begin treatment for BPD, what should you expect next? First, you need to expect to have to answer quite a few questions. These questions are essential and are designed to help your therapist learn about you and your problems. Be prepared to answer questions about the following issues and concerns. Symptoms. Symptoms include anger, rage, sadness, anxiety, impulsive actions, substance abuse, self-harming behaviors, suicidal thoughts or actions, relationship problems, and so on. Your provider will ask you questions about all your symptoms. When did they start? How do they interfere with what you want to do? How frequent are they? What kinds of situations worsen them? How distressed do you feel about them? Physical health issues. Your provider will undoubtedly ask you questions about your overall physical health. How is your sleep? How is your appetite? Do you have any physical pain? Have you ever had significant injuries, surgeries, or illnesses? Have you had a physical exam recently? Do you take prescription medications for anything at all? Do you take over-the-counter medications or supplements? History. Many factors, including childhood circumstances, contribute to the development of BPD, so your provider will ask you about your history. Have you ever been abused? Have you ever experienced a trauma of any kind? Have you ever been hospitalized? Have you ever thought about or attempted suicide? Have you previously taken medications or received treatment for any emotional problems? What is your educational background? What is your work history? What is your history with relationships? Family. Because genetics play a role in the development of BPD, your provider will ask you about your family. Does anyone in your family have emotional problems of any kind? Have any of your relatives received medication or psychotherapy for emotional disorders? Finances. Some people express discomfort when discussing financial issues, but your therapist needs to know a few basics. Do you have insurance coverage? Can you afford treatment? Are finances a source of stress for you or your family? Evaluating your therapy. A core symptom of BPD involves having trouble with relationships. One reason for this difficulty is that people with BPD easily misinterpret the meaning of what other people say to them. So, if at any time you feel criticized, unsupported, or angered by your therapist's words or actions, you need to check out your concerns. Try not to lash out or walk out, but try to find out what led to your reaction. Be open to what your therapist says. After you've been to a half dozen sessions or so, and after you've checked out any concerns you may have, you should typically feel quite comfortable divulging and discussing just about anything with your therapist. You should feel like your therapist listens to you and respects you as a person. Most therapists show reasonable warmth, empathy, and concern. If yours doesn't, discuss your concerns. If you truly feel like you're not connecting with your therapist, get a second opinion by seeking a one-time consultation from another therapist. Confidentiality concerns. All licensed professionals have ethical codes that require them to keep any information they learn about you, their client, confidential. State laws back up these codes, so you can trust that your therapist won't reveal details about your life to anyone else. A few exceptions to these confidentiality codes and laws include harm to self. If your therapist feels you're in imminent danger of causing serious harm to yourself, she has to take certain precautions, which can include alerting your family or authorities, or even having you hospitalized. Harm to others. If your therapist firmly believes that you're about to cause serious harm to someone else, she has to take action to notify others or to hospitalize you. Abuse of children or elders. If you tell your therapist that you're currently harming a child or elder, your therapist has to inform authorities. Your therapist should highlight these and any other exceptions to confidentiality that she practices in a written statement that you read and sign at your initial session. Be sure to ask your therapist if you don't understand any of the language that the statement contains. Remember, members in group therapy are asked to keep anything they hear during their group sessions confidential. Most members comply with this rule. However, someone may break the rule. Although we generally encourage openness in group therapy, if you have concerns about sharing something with your group, discuss the issue with your individual therapist first. Warning. On the other hand, you can't expect your therapist to become your best friend or your mother. See Chapter 25 for more information about what you can reasonably expect from the therapist-client relationship. Giving therapy some time. Psychotherapy for BPD takes a little time. Some programs, such as schema therapy, see the Researching the Treatment Strategies That Work for BPD section for more info about this particular technique. May take as long as 3 years, but the results may be worth the wait. Other programs are designed to be much shorter. However, you can expect treatment to take at least several months before you start to feel moderate improvement. Many people with BPD remain in therapy for several years. Within 6 months to a year of therapy, you can reasonably expect to reduce and manage your urges to engage in self-harm or suicide. Other goals, such as improved life satisfaction, reduced impulsivity, and better relationships, are likely to require significantly more time. Be patient. You're likely to get better when you give treatment enough time and effort.